When it comes to fitness, what's real? How about when it really, truly fits your life? That's how Anytime Fitness sees it. Because our coaches see you. It's how they build personal plans that work wherever you are and focus on everything that matters, from fitness to nutrition to recovery, all so you can push yourself further than ever or just through the next rep. It's total 360 support for a real difference. That's Anytime Fitness. That's real AF. Visit anytimefitness.com.
We invite them, or did they invite themselves?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
For the first time ever, we are recording our investor opportunity meeting live, James. We have these regularly, and you know how it is. Fantasy sports is growing, James.
Yep.
The YouTube community is getting bigger and bigger.
Yep.
There's this couple of guys in North London that have this awesome Sky Fantasy Football FPL channel.
No.
And this time next year, we'll be millionaires, James.
Yeah, okay. You only get £50,000 for winning it. So.
Oh, mate.
Unless James, someone at Sky decides to change the fund, you know, please. But we ain't winning it anyway, so what difference does it make?
That's true. Do you want to introduce our guests?
Yes, I suppose I shall. We are very blessed today to be joined by two genuine fantasy football legends from Fantasy Football Hub, the 3-for-1 Sky Fantasy Football podcast. Let me firstly introduce you to Sun Dream Team winner of the 2021-22 season, Andrew Ferguson. How are you, Andrew?
I'm really good, thank you, buddy.
Why am I calling you Andrew? It's Fergie.
Only my mother calls me Andrew nowadays. Just so you know. So,
Mom, what are you calling me out for?
She's like, Andrew. But yeah, thanks for having us on, guys. Absolutely amazing. Massive, massive fans for years and years and years. And James, personally, you've been a podcast inspiration of mine over the years as well. So I just wanted to.
Such hasn't? Well.
Or? Nah. Such absolutely has not been any kind of inspiration.
But James, you're absolutely there on that side of the table.
Exactly.
Thank you, mate. But Fergie's upstage today by his partner in crime. Let me introduce you to the man who finished 10th in Sky Fantasy Football this season. It's Paul McNulty. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, a bit rough this morning, but yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
For those who live under a rock, Paul did finish 10th in Sky Fantasy Football, but he also finished first. Congratulations, Paul.
Thanks very much, mate.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Still a bit surreal. Like, I was a bit nervous, an understatement yesterday, but just happy to come out on top.
How's that day? Because in our community, a lot of our patrons were talking about you and wanting you to win it and stuff. And the reaction to the last show that you guys did was like, how the fuck is he so calm? Like, why is he not like sweating buckets?
I genuinely felt like that. And I wasn't I've not been sleeping particularly well recently. But
and that's not the 11-month-old.
No, and that's not the 11-month-old. My girlfriend's very accommodating on that front, and I don't need to get up with her. But I genuinely felt calm in that I used my last, not that this was known, but I used my last transfer like 3 weeks ago. So I've not really had, other than captaincies, and yesterday was a big, big decision. But other than that, I've not really had much decision making. So I was already in the frame of what will be. Type situation, so I've been happy with how I've played this year. I've not got any regrets really. So if someone beat me and pipped me at the post at the end, then so be it.
I suppose having used it, you're out of power, aren't you? So
yep.
There's no point worrying about
things that are out of your control.
Bar the cat seat. Yeah. No, but I think probably I don't know what you had from say United Chelsea the other night. Was it Rashford? Wasn't
yeah.
It?
So I've got a story.
Right?
So I've got a story about this.
Go on.
Well. I went into that game with Rashford as my only cover, and I knew the guy in second. I was catching because the leaderboard's active now, and you can see like intra-game updates, so I could work out what the teams around me were, and I had it written down what players I had and what they had. And the guy in second, John Donnelly, had brought in someone to begin with, and I was thinking, right, it's either Shaw or De Gea make the most sense, knowing what his team was and who he was going to take out. And then when De Gea got saves bonus, he jumped up 4 points. So it was obviously had him. And then the Felix goal in the last 10 minutes. And then the Rashford goal. And he didn't own Rashford. So in the last 10 minutes on Thursday, 32-point swing.
Wow.
So I was like 20-odd points behind and probably dead at that point, I think, based on I knew what his team was. His team was marginally better than mine going into the last last game day as well. Like, you had Trent and Ad Kanate, like, what vast difference in Sky for outputs for those two players.
And a Tottenham player won it for you, right?
Did, yeah. And that, like, I was very close. So I was on Haaland all week. Sorry, I'm going off on tangents now.
I'll work away.
I was all set on Haaland all week. I spoke to my missus as well and said,
What should I do?
Oh, yeah, I was like, in the situation. And she's like, well, Haaland's the new Salah anyway, so you might as well captain him. That was her response. Like, she picks up little bits from watching the games when I'm watching.
What you were trying to do here was put it on her if you didn't win the money, right?
You told me.
Well, it's the opposite. When she's like, when Son had the brilliant season last year and I didn't own him in any format for long periods, she was like, well, Son always scores and he's always smiling. Why are you not bringing him in? And I didn't want that situation to come up again. So, so I was on Haaland all week, and then I looked at the odds for any time scorer. Take the decision out of my hand, please. Went on the Sky Bet, both 5-6 to score any time. So, I was chatting with Dan Cox. We were playing pool downstairs, and I was like, who would you go for, Kane? And I was like, I was thinking Kane anyway myself. And now having that conversation brings out what you want. You know, in that coin flip decision, when you flip a coin, you're like, oh no, I'm going to do best two out of three now, because the first flip doesn't land the way you want to do it, and that's what brings out the thought. So, but when kickoffs happened, this is terrible etiquette from me. I didn't realise that in game I couldn't make my team public, because I would have done it, but you had to do it before the kickoff, I think, in Sky.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I tried to do it on my phone and I couldn't, and the teams in second and third did, so poor etiquette from me. But
is that the dumb thing, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Especially when things are so close and it's been kind of...
I had my team around December time when I noticed a lot of people were trying to copy me.
No one's noticed that I haven't made mine.
You know, they were trying to steal my transfer ideas.
But I think I only had about four players yesterday. So.
But I hadn't seen that they were open until Kane had already scored. So I went to check the leaderboard and then saw that they had open teams and they both captained Salah at that point. So it was...
Do you think they're sitting, I'm going, that wanker didn't even open his team. We can't even see what he's
done. I don't know. I'd probably be thinking that. Like, it's like per etiquette. I don't, but I didn't do it on purpose.
I'm interested to know how it worked between you guys when you were... Because you were second, Fergie, right?
I was third.
Finished 43rd in the end?
Yeah.
It was a great season as well. But at one point you were 1-2-3, three for one.
A couple of months ago.
Stop talking to each other, or were you starting to lie to each other?
No, I think that we kind of knew we're very open with each other about the fact that we don't share our teams with each other, in terms of we actually actively talk about that, because we are competing against each other, but also we don't want to pair or influence each other either. So we knew we had probably seven or eight the same. And then I had a couple of different players from Paul, and we both knew that, but we're both very open about not sharing it, because...
You guys have been putting together for what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, I think this is our
I feel like
fourth season.
I know what James is like. I think you probably know what I'm like a little bit now as well. You can kind of get an idea for...
Or when deadlines come round, James will, know what you're like.
Every week he'll try and push a little bit of Zaha or a little bit of Sun. Yeah. I know what his vices are, you know? But you kind of get a feel for...
You do. But when Paul, you talk so often, very, right? Very un-Paul transfers this year as well. So he has thrown me a couple of times, because I'm sure he'll talk about it a little bit now, but Callum Wilson is the most un-Paul transfer you will ever make. And that's what ended up winning him it ultimately. So I think that we were talking a little bit at the start of the season, and even in season. And I remember we had a very honest chat at some point about a year ago, didn't we? About, I think we were pissed and we were saying, Paul, what's the one thing which I would change about your game? And vice versa. But the thing I said to Paul was, I think when he pulls within striking distance, I sometimes think he's sometimes a little bit too reserved still to actually go on and win it. Like, he came 30th last year.
Yeah,
which is an amazing, amazing finish. But he was never in the hunt of actually winning it. So you need to make those real sort of gamble transfers, and he did that this year. And not for 1 minute taking any credit for that at all. What you brought in Martinelli when you probably shouldn't have, and you brought in Wilson and those other ones. So they're the ones that kind of won him in. And I had no idea he was doing these moves either. So, but in terms of the question, we had no real idea, and we were playing very, very separately. We're very competitive. against each other as well. We're in all different leagues against each other as well. So
obviously, you cleaned up all your mini leagues as well.
Yeah, I didn't play that many. I didn't play the early mini leagues. Well, Sky put me off because they had put a deadline for joining. It was a weird date because it was like it wasn't the last day of the month. It was the day before the last day. I think it was like 30th of October rather than 31st of October. And then I was nervous about, was I still able to join them on the 31st? So I dipped my toe and I joined a couple on the 31st thinking, oh, I might not be allowed or kicked out or whatever, and it retained. So
and people can't wait to have me in such in their mini leagues.
Well, yeah, free money. Let's see.
Basically.
I remember probably, I'd say about a month ago, I remember you when you were podding and you were saying, Fergie, specifically, like you were loving this fantasy season. Like best it was one of the best ever. I feel like the last 2-3 weeks though, because we'd kind of build up to this FPL game weeks 37, the double in 36 a little bit. Then as soon as City, the title was wrapped up because Arsenal lost to Forest, and all the double game week players and stuff is now out the window, right? Even in Sky, like I've got Mitoma, loads of my Sky players didn't even play yesterday.
I got Stones and Edison, mate. I got Stones and Edison last month. I had nothing off of
it. It drifted out the last 2 weeks of... We'd kind of, as what we'd call engaged managers that are properly looking at the fixtures, trying to plan for the doubles, petered out to a little bit of meh because there was so much rotation that we didn't end up having the gains that we thought we would. Lucky in a few FPL mini leagues, I was ahead a reasonable amount because of 27, 28, 32, that kind of those game weeks. But it was enjoyable. I don't know if it finished in that way because we didn't get the gains at the end that we could have had.
Yeah, I agree. I just think in terms of the way that the whole season panned out in terms of the overhaul being over the World Cup. I think that the first overhaul, I understand why Sky do it, because they want to give the casual managers who haven't had the best start a kind of a second chance, keep them engaged. I completely understand that. But I think it gives everyone who's had a good start, it sets them on the back foot. You know, those engaged managers who put a lot of time and effort into it, it puts them on the back foot because then everyone ends up having the same team as them, which they don't deserve. From an engaged view, the second overhaul just completely like kills the game. Again, this is all like my opinion in terms that every team after second overhaul is basically the same. Again, any like earned collateral that you've made by putting your team in a really great position is just completely lost because everyone can just get there for free. So I think that the fact that they didn't have the first one and that the second one was after World Cup, which obviously was perfect because everything changed in terms of the league and injuries and all that stuff, worked out really well. And I also really liked the 50 transfers, only because I think 40 is, you know, it's kind of averages one a week, right? Which is good from the fact that if you want to continually manage your team well. But I do think the extra 10 did allow us all that little bit of freedom and fun to go off on a couple of punts you normally wouldn't have gone
around
for
the table. So I'd rather have one overhaul and 50 transfers than two overhauls and 40 transfers. Same. I don't know what the rest of you guys like.
I'd rather have 50 transfers and no overhaul.
Yeah, but then you're making it that little bit more difficult. You want to make it difficult, but I think having one overhaul is useful. But the thing is, when's the timing of that one overhaul? Like January transfer window? Do you want to do it? Or you need like an international break of 8-10 days. We had a long time with the World Cup, right? The overhaul period was massive. Although I suppose most people actually just look at it in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I agree with
Fergie. Days,
it deads the game for a while.
Yeah, it does, because we all came out with similar players or whatever and steaming into City after that period.
I think in fantasy, the whole point of fantasy about what you really, really look for is to get your team in a great position through all your skill and commitment and time you put into it. I think that what that overhaul does, the second one, in particular, it just completely kills your collateral and just gives everyone else. And again, I understand why they do it, but from a pure, fantasy enthusiast perspective, I don't think people deserve to have that second chance if you've got your team in a great,
position.
But I do understand why Sky do it, obviously, to keep
particularly this year with the World Cup as well. Yeah, yeah.
It made sense timing wise. I mean, we don't know. Next season's going to revert back to normal, right? We'd assume with Sky, they've not said anything otherwise.
They said there's going to be a change, but there's not details.
Watch this space. Come on, they're going to be onto you, Paul. Like, because they're going to sort out your winning. So ask the cheeky question, it's a little leak.
Paul's not seen that for months.
Come on, tell him.
I think just kind of a final sort of a point on that. I think for all the years, like, I've played fantasy in all the different formats.
Yeah.
I think this year in Sky, I felt the most in control of my own destiny. And I think that to me is really important. With lots of other games, you know, like the FPL lockout, an hour and a half before the deadline, you can be screwed before the game week even starts. In other formats, similar thing. But I think with Sky, you're very, very much in control. You know, you have to be disciplined with transfers. You have to take your time on when you make your transfers. But because of the daily interaction, you can make a decision off the back of a lineup, or you can make a decision to take someone out on the Saturday, put them on the Sunday, captain the high EO captain, or go for a differential captain. I feel you're just massively in control of your own destiny, and your overall kind of ending almost reflects your performance. Because I don't feel that.
We're talking about Paul, right?
So much better now.
Well, you made the choices, right? But like, if you think about Paul's situation, when you're going into the last 3 weeks, part of it is why you can't, because, well, you made your transfers now, so actually your destiny is out of your hands. But at the same time, you're making your daily captaincy decision, so it's not out of your hands. So even though in the last few weeks there's some things that you can't influence with your decision, exactly, like making the captaincy choice is still make or break.
Well, if a deadline wasn't at the kickoff for Sky yesterday, Paul would have probably captained Haaland. But as it was, he put the destiny in his own hands to go on and win it by having to choose between Kane and Salah.
Yeah.
Okay, I know we had the leak, but if we didn't have a leak, it just killed. Well, Haaland didn't play, was it last weekend, the weekend before?
Last weekend he didn't play against Chelsea. Started against Brighton.
Like that. It's just completely out of your hands then, and it's in the laps of the gods, whereas you do get that extra bit of, you know, your own, you know, if you're setting alarms for captains, like we all do, you deserve that extra bit of...
The team leaks kind of annoyed me last weekend because the guy in second brought in Alvarez and captained Alvarez, and he scored in the 1-0 victory over Chelsea, whereas if there was no team leaks out, and even at that point, I think nobody was really sure on the sources that were coming through. And exactly. Like, there was a
Alvarez
couple of...
Alvarez quite good, I captain Alvarez, so, you know. It worked out for me.
I won't tell you what I did. I told you last week.
Yeah.
While everyone was coming off Haaland, so I thought, well, I'll stay this time.
I did as well. Oh,
I did. Did you?
We all did. Yeah.
See, I followed the leaders here, so.
You know, you put a tweet out asking for questions for the show.
Yeah.
Like, three of us may as well not bothered because everyone's just basically sent questions in for Paul now.
All right, well, let's cover some of them.
But there's a lot of people.
It will spin off.
There's a lot of people that. Congratulating you. So just take it as a given that everyone that sent a question said started it with congratulations, Paul, yep, and well done, because they all
have. Is there like no one's put fuck this prick or nothing like that? Or
how did they ride his luck, or the bad etiquette of not showing my team?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's got to be something. No, good.
Nah, if there was, I wouldn't. It's public. It's all on Twitter. You can see it and you can hunt them down. So Benny Blanco says, Paul, remember when people said you couldn't win the game playing it the way you do? Like, who said that? Was it Fergie? Was it Fergie on your show?
we discussed it in the pod with me a few months ago, saying that we'd said in the pod, I remember certainly you two discussed it together, the idea of this would get you so far, but is it? And we literally said it last week, didn't we? Like, now, whether you won it or not, we found out that it could be done doing it your style. But it's interesting listening that you've said there's things that maybe you wouldn't have done in the past, like the Callum Wilson move, for example. So there was still a little bit of
50 transfers
variance.
Means there's a couple more, like,
and well,
risky ones.
So there is that, definitely, for sure. But that team with Callum Wilson, the team that won the game was the team that was second. So when we were first, second and third, I had made one transfer different across the two teams for the course of the season up until about a month ago. And that one transfer had gained me 20 points. So I had the one transfer in reserve in the second team, but I had the 20-point lead on the first team. And it was a team in second that I brought Wilson in, because I was hedging my bets because I brought Isak in the first team. So it was actually that team that overtook it. So again, you could argue I would never have done that in my first team, I don't think.
So your second team won?
Yeah. Well, but the team that was in second at that point in time was the team that ended up winning, and the team in first was the one that dropped.
So was that the Brighton game you brought Wilson in?
No, so I brought him in, again, it was my second last transfer, so I was going a bit aggressive, and it was an Arsenal game on the Sunday, so he blanked, and I immediately regretted bringing in Wilson. I was like, that's not a me move to do, even though it's the second team, why have I done that? Really, like, so I had a week of mourning over it, and then it came up, the Leeds game was early kickoff on the following Saturday, Newcastle Leeds, and I was like, oh well, what have I got to lose now? Wilson really low owned, Leeds do concede a lot of chances, penalties. So I captained Wilson, the team, and that's, I just started that chain reaction from there, because then the Brighton game, the following midweek, where he scored and assisted and got shots born
right
at the end.
The death.
And everyone, yeah. And everyone around me, yeah. Captained Dunk as well. So you could argue that it's not the normal style of play that's won me the game, and I've changed that up. But
that's interesting. But
it's the timing of the punts as well, isn't it? Because yeah. if you play like that all season, you won't win.
Yeah,
like, but you put yourself you put yourself in a position to get lucky, and, yep. and you had a punt, and you know and it paid off. But you've got to play rock solid to get to that spot. You won't get to that spot with a decent amount of transfers left, just taking punts.
I think I found that this season in the first half, where I was pretty steady. Second season playing Sky, so I don't really think I'm even that knowledgeable about my own. Like, if someone said to you, what's
this
your style?
Season
I don't
four
know.
About.
Nah, no way. Second season, proper. No way.
You haven't been playing a long time.
Nah, not 4 years.
Season four.
It can't be four.
Yes, bro.
No way. We've
so just doing
years.
It by myself.
What happened in the first season?
Not a lot for you, mate.
And what in the second season? Not a lot.
No.
I don't think, obviously it doesn't store your historic ranks. I mean, this is the first time where I've missed what, maybe 6 or 7 deadline/captaincies out of 170, which for me is all right. For a lot of regular players, that's too many. But I know now...
The game sets your captaincy. Yeah, and the fact that the game sets your captaincy.
I think I only did that after the overhaul. Or did it do it before? But it only did it if you set your captaincy on a player. So if you hadn't got a player from that day, you were screwed.
There were certain ones you missed, wasn't it? Like Madison's Hall against Forest. You didn't buy anyone in.
Bayern Raya. There was Salah one day that I wanted to get, but it didn't go off. Doesn't matter. But I know for the first half of the season, I like steady Eddies, 5-pointer players. Rodri's, Paulinho's, Dunks. I'd rather pay anywhere between 8 and 9.5, 10 million for a 5-point player than look for ups and downs. I don't know if it was made easy because we could just captain Haaland so much this year that we didn't need to try and find alternative captaincy ones. But rather than find players that might go off and be explosive, that's not for me. I like 5-point, 6-point steady players till you get towards the last 3-4 months. And then not need to hop off of, because then you just keep them, right? They're just steady to keep ticking along.
I think what maybe helped me and Paul a bit this year as well is the Sky game very much turned into like the Telegraph game, which we've played for a long time, where the, you know, it was only the one overhaul and quite a lot of transfers. And the way to do well at a Telegraph, for anyone who knows that, is to literally just hold on to, or just get yourself a rock solid team. Make as few transfers as you possibly can.
Injuries
you injury
or whatever.
Or maybe a
captaincy coverage if you need.
Or someone's dropped, right? Yeah. But I think both of us went into the overhaul. I had 41 left, and you had like 38 or 39, which was a lot.
Yeah, but I was around 41 overhaul.
It's so hard.
You were 50, weren't you?
Nah.
You were
41, 42, I think. So, overhaul after World Cup,
it's so
42.
Hard not to use the transfers, but... Again, through like experience, which you know, we're all kind of getting now. Imagine having like 5 more transfers in the last month. And then I just look back to the first half of the season and think, oh, look, there's a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 there, which is not like real of massive benefit. Whereas the transfers now, imagine you could have brought in like 2 or 3 players in this last month.
Like Konate and Isak.
I was thinking more
like... I was thinking if I brought a Man United player. I would have brought a Man United player on Thursday, and it would have cost me points.
But like maybe like Trent is a good example of someone... I couldn't get to who I would have. He was so dangerous, right? Would have loved to have gotten to Trent, or loved to have, you know, even like Estupinan over these last 2 weeks. And players like that, I just couldn't get to. I didn't have enough.
I think Ian Parent said it, didn't he, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? Is those who went on Konate? I went on Konate a week, and if I'd waited a week later, I would have gone on Trent, and that could have made a massive difference. But just didn't wait and just tried to play the extra fixture game.
Nunes.
I wonder.
I bought Nunes when Liverpool played Arsenal, didn't I? It was the 4:30. He wasn't even in the team. He's played about half hour since.
Didn't you tell James to pick Nunes when you were on the pod a while ago?
I said if I was gambling and I was that far behind.
Okay, if I was that far behind,
Darren.
Did we invite them or did they invite themselves?
Darren, also a close. He's asked a question, but I think you've answered it. Would you have captained Haaland if
absolutely.
He started?
100%.
If he started, I think a lot of people would have.
I told you that's what I was doing as well.
But I think if he started, a lot would have.
I think that second and third. I went on record on pod to say it, and I've I think I've been like pretty open on the pods as well this year and not every year, but this is how I play the game, and I will continue to play the game this way, and I have done so. But when I was looking at the fixtures with 18 fixtures to go, and I know how many transfers I've got left, I'm like, I'm captain Haaland 6 or 7 games or whatever the number of Man City games are. And then I would have more regret than not doing Haaland than...
Overthinking it almost, the other way.
Like, I often think of moves and captaincy calls as where's my biggest regret? What would...
100%.
How would I play that? And that's all we thought, yeah, I would have captained.
Imagine, like, waking up this morning, having not captain Haaland, and the guys in second and third had a captain Haaland, Haaland had gone to bang a hat-trick, and you think, why have I gone against the best striker in the world?
He didn't, he captained Harry Kane.
Exactly. but it's just that thing of like that. What can you put yourself through emotionally? Like, you know, I think, well, I've made a mistake. And that's how both of us play the game. It's like, what is the thing that will make us not feel the worst? And it's obviously to go with the best forward in the world. Because remember when Haaland played Leicester away a few weeks ago and people were thinking of going against him? And it's just like, you can't
go against him. 5:30 kickoff, and it was scored.
It was a little bit of a thing whether he was going to play or not. Yeah. And he ended up, I think he scored 2 goals the day before.
In about 10 minutes.
Or something. And, you know, if you hadn't gone Haaland, if you'd have tried to be a bit too cute, a bit too clever, you all of a sudden you're out of it, and you? So, yeah.
I think you summed up there, but like, I've tried to play the game not being too cute and not too clever, and I think that you often, your peripheral players in the team rather than who you're going to captaincy can make up the differences, and as you're picking up the 5-pointers like you mentioned earlier on, so, or the one move. I thought that, like, I brought in Martinelli, I've only owned him once this season, and I brought him in when everyone else was selling him because there was the fears of Trossard coming in, and I thought for a while that that's not unlike me move to make for me, but then the more I thought about it, the reason that I picked Martinelli was based on data, because the next 4 games were against the 4 teams that had conceded the most chances or had the biggest XGC since the World Cup. And I was more comfortable that was the right decision, and it was the kind of decision that I would actually make, even though it didn't look like it because everyone was selling him off and I was getting a low-owned player then, like, or much more lowly owned than he had been anyway.
Do you think, because you've done obviously so well this year, we'll have a lot more copycats next year? I mean, in terms of your style. So I feel like there's a little bit of a danger next year if the majority of popular players are underpriced, we're going to get this template again. And it would be nice to have some movement from that. So you referenced 4 players last week, Suj, that I think if they're all gettable, everyone would probably have, subject to the fixtures start of next season. Do you think because you've won it, even more people go, I'm going template. I'm just going to sit this out, not make early transfers, not take early gambles.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's going to be too much of a swing. And I've mentioned before, I got luck in a few decisions I made this year as well. Obviously, I think you need that bit of luck as well as good planning. I think that this is the onus is on Sky to price the players right to sort that problem out. Like, I think that this year, regardless of how I've played the game or not, or people listening to the content or listening to the pod, is that Lewis Dunk always went under the radar. It's like, he's always been like, I always loved Romero in Sky. I think he was always a great asset and always cheap. But Dunk's always been underpriced because even before De Zerbi came in, in Potter's early time, he was still picking up passing bonus frequently. I know Brighton were never great for clean sheets, but he's always been underpriced, and I think he would have come to the limelight or the forefront of people's decisions now, and he seems like another template player that has to really be 9.5 million, I think, next year, like nine and a half million next year.
Most passes in the league in the end.
Yeah, so it's all
that's good. Despite being on the piss all week.
So it has to be priced. So surely the price
over the season or yes, just in yesterday.
No, I don't think he was drinking all season.
No. The passes for just yesterday.
Yeah, no, all players
over all of the entire season.
He's been out all week.
Yeah.
Allegedly,
because Michael Haaland said like 3 players who would be going into your team next season, regardless of price, apart from Haaland, Kane, and Salah. Well, you can't really answer that because you don't know.
Having dunk.
You don't know what the...
There's got to be a level.
The price and the fixtures do matter because you want to make sure you've got the odd captaincy covered off and that kind of thing. So it kind of does matter. But yeah, it'll be the 5-pointers. Like, I think Rodri would be top of my mind to be straight in, because I just like the consistency. I think VVD, because of the consistency, I think it's these who's tier points all the time.
You could
David Raya.
I think you could sort that with pricing, like worth pricing them. You could put Rodri at high nines, and then he's like, well, do I pick up? He doesn't get that much attacking threat. So for the five, is it worth the 9.9 or whatever he came in at? Dunk, if he was 9.5, makes that part like start making a decision rather than, because if he's less than nine, like, you know, if he's like 8.8 or something like that, I think he automatically goes in as well.
No, he'll be one of the highest priced defenders next year now, won't he?
Hopefully.
I mean, it's got going towards the 10 mark, I would have thought, to be honest, because it's consistently proven over so many years now. And now that they've obviously finished top six, it's like, okay, right, we'll treat Brighton a little more seriously as well. The Rodri one's interesting because the difference between, say, him and Dunk is, Dunk, you know, will come in handy for the captaincy. Rodri...
You're never going to captain him, really.
If the big Norwegian's fit, you're probably not, so it becomes a big investment then, isn't it?
That's right, De Bruyne isn't a great Sky, in my opinion, isn't a great Sky fantasy asset.
You
should
have captained him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, previously, obviously, he was because of the all-round ability.
Nobody should be getting, like, eight Man City players on overhaul or anything like that, should they?
No. We foolish idea, James.
Thanks.
We could put a line through about five or six of the questions we've had in on Twitter. Basically, how's the hangover, lads? Including Dan Cox, who's jumped in, and he was there on the piss yesterday with you. So,
that was the first time I met Dan as well. It's good, really? It was good to find
Can you handle his liquor?
Yeah, I was the most.
Paul doesn't know.
Yeah, I was the most.
He left 8 o'clock, so that tells us.
Oh, okay, no, then.
We had a really good day.
That's the Norfolk in him, isn't it?
It was. I say it's very good. We were out with a load of the Hub boys. And girls. And when Paul won, which is obviously a really kind of mad moment, Will Thomas, who owns the Hub, when I got Paul there, bottle of champagne, and we all had shots of champagne, got a glass of champagne, and then Paul had half the bottle, and Paul was really, he was really stunned and overwhelmed, and he was like, I can get it, because it doesn't quite sink in that you've actually won it, because, you know, for all of us, right, if you win a fantasy game, it's what we love, it's what we do, right, it's our whole, it's what kind of we spend 80 or 90% of our lives doing and thinking about. So it's a real kind of the pinnacle of it, regardless of the cash.
If you get to the end and you're top of the leaderboard, though, you've got to, like I said before, you've got to be waiting for Opta to screw you over by giving a tier point to someone or taking a tier point away.
Thank God, 10 points and not like one. That was But Paul necked half a bottle of champagne. So in about 20 minutes, Paul went from really like, you know, kind of stunned and overwhelmed and humble to like leery, staggering around the bar and a bit leery. He's Scottish.
Do you answer some of the other questions? Like, someone's put in, how does it feel to be filthy rich, Paul? We know now. He's swinging half bottles of champagne straight. He's like, that's it. Well, this is my life now.
Well, we do through our pod when Liam and Ian and Dan used to be on, and we used to rotate kind of a third guest on it. We used to do the Four Nations league, so Ian Parran won it last year and passed the cup over, so we filled the cup with champagne as well. Nice. I was thinking about that. So.
You know, I've just got my eyes on that bottle down there, James. There's a bottle of champagne down there. We can start spraying it in a minute.
Paul, need it in the fridge?
No, before you need to chill it. Yeah. Paul, Sky player in FPL, you'll know he's down in South Wales. He wants to know, Fergie, when you're flying Paul to Wales, because he won the nip and a half.
He did win nip and a half.
So he wants to meet you. He's not bothered about Fergie. So he's like, he wants Fergie to be paying for the flights for Paul to come and meet Paul.
We do another like a non-Hub podcast on the side called Nip and a Half. It's just a short, bite-sized 15-minute competition where we add our FPL, Dream Team, Telegraph, and Sky scores together, and then compare the overall score against the overall score. And the bet was the loser paid for the other to fly to their home city and like pay for the day out kind of thing. So I beat Fergie, but I want to go to Barry Island.
I want to go to Barry Island and my local neighbour club as well.
Gavin and Stacey are up down in Barry Island.
I think if I'm jumping, a lot of people be listening to that going, how are you balancing these games and these formats?
It's
spreadsheets.
last night, though, I think that we've been playing, so Paul and I have played Dream Team, Telegraph for like 20 or 25 years, and obviously Sky since Sky started, and we came kind of latish to FPL, I think. So the other three games would probably need the most attention, the most engagement. Wednesday, you know, you learn that Haaland is dropped. For people who haven't been playing for a long time, they need to really consider and think about the kind of implications of that on, you know, on whatever else. Whereas because we've been playing for such a long time, we can just kind of go like, right, that's what we kind of need to do. And you know, set the all that, like, you know, our phones and, you know, any really experienced players alarm across these things. The phone is just full of alarms for like the different times of the matches, and you go on. And if you're, you know, if you're at your nan's house having lunch, the alarm goes, oh, just excuse me a minute, I got a work call, I need to go off to the loo or whatever else. And it's just like, it's that constant sort of thing all weekend.
So the main takeaway from that was lie to your family.
Lie to your family. And but no, sorry, in terms of the thing, it's just you kind of know what to do. We've been playing for so long that, you know, it's easier to balance. But we also spend, like, both of us and lots of really experienced managers and all these things, just spend way far too long on spreadsheets, on fantasy football, on FF stuff and all that jazz as well.
I was at my previous boss's for a barbecue last summer, and it was the day of the draft game launching, and I'm sitting with my phone under the table, like, picking the draft.
Is that why he's a previous boss? Nice. Because Man on Martin from the Man on Pod, he's saying, like, well done, Paul, for winning Sky. Is Sky still going to remain your main focus, or do you want to add another format as the one, like Sky or Sun or Telegraph, or do you give them equal focus anyway? Like, do you have a favourite?
Sky, by far.
You lean towards.
Yeah, and that's why I originally wanted to do the podcast. I did Mark Edworthy, who, when there was very, very little Sky content around, yeah, like 10, 11 years ago, I was in a WhatsApp chat with Will Thomas, the founder of The Hub, and Dan Cox. That's how I've known Dan for that long as well. And Mark had started up Eddie had started up a podcast at that point, and I joined a couple of times. And then when Fergie went and joined the Hub, Will had suggested that Dan and I might want to come along. And I just really like the Sky game, I like the format of it. If you engage time in it, you could, and say you do need a bit of luck, but if you can have a plan and add that element of luck and layer that over the top of it, you can get top finishes and there's good prizes on board as well. So I think the rewards for putting in the effort in Sky is a lot more so than the other three games. In terms of, well, James alluded to it there, I don't have that. Like, I've got an 11-month hold at home. I've got a job which obviously work, like, when I'm busy, I work longer hours as well. So I'm thankfully giving up football now, so that this is my hobby on top of that as well. So I probably don't have much more bandwidth than what I've already got to think about anymore.
Another game.
But the other games, like Fergie said there about Telegraph, that almost plays itself a little bit in that, yeah, you might need to do a transfer, but there's no captaincies in it. Dream Team, there's no captaincies. You have to have a good memory to remember who's in my team across the teams, but one bit of news has that filter effect across the multiple games. And whilst they all have different point scoring and different makeups, there's general players that you're going to want in the games or days that you want to transfer them in anyway. So,
Does that help when you're watching a game and you've got two players in one format, two players in another format? You stop almost caring about where the points are, or do you still think, I've got these guys in Sky, so they're my priority?
Sky.
Or,
yeah.
It's funny because when we record, I've had loads of times this season where I have different players in Sky and different players in FPL, and it's hurt me in FPL when we were recording on a Monday and we were going through all the games. You're like, yeah, so-and-so scored and it's affected me badly in FPL. But inside I'm like, I don't give a shit because I owned him in Sky and I captained him and I've actually done all right. And you're kind of torn a little bit sometimes. It's funny like that, how it can play out. Mark Williamson raises a question, and it's a bit of a loaded question. Obviously, FPL is getting busier and busier in the sense that more good players. So now people are trying to argue the case that top 50K is like the old top 10K. He's saying it's top 250 now the same as top 100 in Sky. And the reason it's loaded is because he finished 224th. I held back a lot of transfers and I was like just outside the top 1,000. And when I piled into a load of transfers, I went from 1,000 to about 250, 300. And then my transfer count started leveling off against everyone. But that 250 to 100, I could never make that jump. I really hit a wall there. because everybody from 300 upwards was so good.
Yeah, but if you hadn't missed the six or seven captains,
yeah, I would have won it. You would have been a top. I would have won it, but you know,
you'd have no money.
Mate. Yeah, yeah. It's, I felt for Paul. I thought I'd give him a chance.
It's interesting because you look at like the podcasts views and YouTube. The YouTube views and podcast listens. Probably you know, I don't know what yours are like, but across ours, definitely, you know, and they definitely get like our weekly YouTube gets over 1,000 views every week, and if it's getting over 1,000 views, it's over 1,000. You know,
engage managers, engage, yeah.
And they're engaged. They're the ones that don't listen on the podcast version. Are the ones that don't even know we exist.
Yeah.
So 250. For me is a really, really good season nowadays. If you think you've got 1,000 people watching a video, even at this time of the season, because at the start it's more like it's into the thousands, and yours is the same, I guess. So you've got a lot of really uber engaged managers who take the time out of their week to listen and watch the Sky content.
Yeah. I wonder how many of like just even the patrons that we have, like there's probably a couple hundred in there that are active on Sky.
Serious, yeah.
And they're obviously chatting on Slack all the time and doing what they're doing.
I mean, I've often said that I think, you know, to people who want to join and play Sky for the first time, my comment has always been, look, you could win it straight away. You'll hear stories of people in the top 100 this year. I was first season,
loads.
seen a few messages this morning, first season in Sky, I finished 70th and stuff like that. It's like amazing. But I have also consistently said this game is going to get harder because the exposure of pods like ours and other good shows out there, that people are just becoming far more engaged. Like, what percentage of, say, the top 1,000 finishers would you say don't take in any Sky Fantasy content, whether it's written, audio, video? Can't be that many.
I'd be really, really surprised if it was a high proportion, because I think between, you know, between the content that, you know, we do and, you know, other content creators, the other podcasts that are out, the other websites that are out as well. So I think between us all, we've kind of understand now that, I wouldn't say, you know, there's never probably the kind of perfect way to play, but the most optimal way to kind of play the game is becoming more and more refined each year, I think. And I think that if you're not following the content, unless you're, sorry, I'm probably leaving out there that there's a lot of older people, experienced people who will play the game their own way, who don't, you know, who may not, but they have known from years how to play the game.
Yeah.
But for a new person to come in,
yeah,
not listen to the content and do well, I think they would have to be incredibly lucky.
Understanding the tiering points, I think, is difficult. The other thing that's helped me massively this season is the spreadsheet planner that James has been doing for a little while now, since probably COVID. Yeah. But yeah, just being able to map it out. Like Mark Williamson asked the question, did you make any decisions that were influenced by other people or kind of, and that leans into the same discussion, right? Where experienced managers will be able to take it in and understand and make their own decisions. Newer people might get influenced a little bit more on other people's decisions.
I've got a series of things that I think in my head when I'm making decisions. One is what's the biggest regret on an outcome? And then if I'm very torn, I'll maybe put a poll out and I don't know, they're getting like maybe like 500 votes on who the top captaincy is, and I just went with whoever.
I've seen you do that a few times this year. Like, is no one going to do the Sky captaincy? And I'm thinking Paul needs to know something here.
Yeah.
So I've done that before. Going to the question before about the FPL top 10K and the Sky thing, the one difference that I would say is that top 10K thing was a manufactured term used in the FPL community. Like, because there's no leaderboard of top 10K. It's a thing that was done, and then that was the benchmark. The difference in Sky, in my opinion, is that the leaderboard for the top 100 is shown, where you can't see beyond the top 100, and then therefore the name and lights type dopamine effect from someone being able to see where your team is without you having to post what your rank is and then share it on Twitter. I would say that that's the main difference. It doesn't directly answer the question because the game is much, much harder. And there's much more engaged people, and a lot of people from FPL have heard good things about Sky, and you can see on like threads on Twitter and such like where, oh, might give Sky a go next year, and these are people that, whilst you could argue that FPL is a lot more luck or not, there's people in FPL that get top 10 finishes constantly or top 25k finishes constantly.
And not many. Like, I'm sure I saw it earlier this season that like every year 80% of the top 10k in FPL is new.
Exactly.
Every year, but I bet that's not the case in Sky.
Then take people like Harry. What is he, top 5k 3 years in a row?
Yeah, but he's in that 20%, but 80%. But I bet it's not the same as Sky.
If
you took the top,
if he went into a bar, mate, it's not that experience.
Take the top 250.
IH
in Sky.
Yeah.
I reckon more than half will have been in and around that before. Like, there's more consistency in the managers that gets in the top.
The top 100 names are like,
Dan
Sherwood, Joe Lee Giles.
When you talked about the enjoyment of the fantasy game, I think it's enjoyable where you see people you know doing well and being able to support them along the way as well. Like, as much as we are in competition, you still want them to do well and win and whatever else. Like, definitely. I think it helps to have names. You're like, oh, so-and-so's there, so-and-so's there. When you know the names, adds a bit of spice.
It does. And when you've played alongside them, because we used to be on an older online forum years ago called FISO, which was like, you know, I'm talking about like 15 years ago now, and there's all people on there you to compete with mini leagues all the way back then. You're still competing against the same sort of players now, and you know they're like, they're really good guys. They're really good players, and you know they've got amazing histories. Just because they're not on Twitter and stuff, they're some of the best. The best managers, they've won hundreds of thousands of pounds, you know, over the years. A bit further back, obviously, when the prize were bigger as well, because was it the Dream Team prize a few years ago? Mick Byron won like £250,000 on Dream
Team. Send me a list. We'll invite them to the next investor opportunity. Yeah. These guys are winning hundreds of thousands.
But yeah, you see all these names in this. You know, it's a real mixture of like the old school players who played for a really long time.
Yeah.
All the kind of new, you know, the guys that you guys introduced through your, you know, through your pods and stuff, all the guys that are members of the Hub, you know, our kind of WhatsApp groups that we've got in the, you know, in the Hub, is just littered with people doing it, and you see all these names. It's just, it's so fantastic, as you say, to support everyone seeing all, you know, everyone winning all their mini leagues, and then, you know, most of the names you see in the top kind of 50, you recognize at least half of them, and you know that they're having a great time, having a great season, and it's just a great community to be a part of, and everyone is like, the support that, you know, me, but obviously mainly Paul has got across the whole community has been, you know, it's been an absolute joy, you know, all our WhatsApp groups, all over Twitter, all over our podcast, all in the chat, wherever else.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one person being like, oh, you know, everyone's been, go on, Paul, go and win it, go and win it. And
it's just, I remember that week where you had 1, 2, and 3 between the two of you, like the number of screenshots I saw with everybody tweeting, I was like, I'm sure they know. It felt like everybody had to screenshot and tweet it. Yeah. But yeah, that was basically dominating my timeline that day, I remember. But everyone was positively like, go on.
How's it for you, Fergie, year on from what you achieved, to reflect on that now in terms of your relationship with Sky and Dream Team?
I think that with Dream Team, I think the first thing I'd say, and Paul now knows it, and you can't probably really feel it until you've gone through it, is how much luck you need to actually win a game, and how much these individual moments, like that Rashford goal and that goal that Felix scored late on. So I was at like a social club on Thursday night. Felix scored a consolation goal in the 89th minute, and I am jumping around the place like you wouldn't believe. And everyone's looking at me thinking, why are you celebrating a Felix consolation goal on the floor? Yeah.
89th minute,
at
random.
That moment. Yeah. And when I won Dream Team, so I took out Harry Kane on the week before. He scored 2 goals against Leeds, and both were disallowed. I don't know if you remember that. One was offside, one was a foul. If Harry Kane would have scored one of those goals, I wouldn't have won. So in terms of winning it, the first thing, Paul knows this now, the luck you need is just insane. Like I say, you need to play well to put yourself in a position, but to actually win it, it's completely out of your hands, because there's so many individual events that can influence it. So, but in terms of what it means for Paul, I think the main thing, like, I've been completely calm all through. You know, I was, you know, I had a shot of winning Sky. And I said this at the time in Dream Team, I think that the polls are a bit the same as well. We love fantasy football so, so much. So we love fantasy football as much as you love Spurs, right? So it's like, it's just heavy to us.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's a rocky relationship. <You're right there. laughs> On that side of the table with James and Spurs.
I feel a little bit better this morning.
Yeah,
kind of like winning the game was like just a complete, you know, it's up there with any event in my life. It was absolutely amazing. And I'm so, so pleased. I'm so pleased for Paul that, you know, because I know how much fantasy football, Sky in particular, means for Paul, that he's going through it now. He's probably still a bit stunned and overwhelmed, but the actual euphoria of achieving a life goal, right? This is a once in a lifetime experience. And I'm not talking about the many is amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, brilliant. But just winning the game.
But winning, it's an absolute life goal that you've that you've achieved. So I'm so pleased for Paul that he's able to have that, you know, the euphoria of it, and that, and everything that comes with it, because he's the best guy, and he completely deserves it.
That's interesting, because when I left the house this morning, the last thing my wife said to me is, "What year are you going to win it then?"
Next year.
Are you aware?
At the end of last season, I did quite well in the, I think it was April Manager of the Month. I was doing all right. I was up there, thereabouts. So I was trying to get my wife to be like supportive. And she's like, "What are you going to win?" I was like, "A console." She goes, "You don't even play computer games." I was like, "You're right, I don't." She's like, "What's the point for a console?"
Were you aware, Fergie, when you were you ever first? And you were second?
No, I was third.
You were second or third?
I got to third, yeah.
Were you aware, because certainly I saw it, that people were speculating, if you won Sky this year, questioning if that would make you the best fantasy football manager ever?
Yeah, obviously it's a difficult, difficult thing for me to talk about. One, because I would never want to ever even put myself into that bracket or even like have a real chat about it. But I also know in years gone past, in all fairness, when the games have got a lot smaller, that people have been far more successful than I have, and they've won a lot more, a lot more money than I have. I do think the game in the last 4 or 5 years across all fantasy formats has become much harder because of content, right? So everyone's got the same information now. Before, you had your edge, like 5-10 years ago, you had your edge just by knowing the rules a bit better than everyone else. You know, like even knowing about passing bonus was an edge. That's not an edge anymore. And all these little kind of nuances and intricacies were your edge. Whereas now your edge is you've got to play at like a really kind of elite level all season to do really, really well. So I would say, I knew I wouldn't really have had a chance of winning when I was third, because I roughly knew Paul had 8 players the same as me. I roughly knew we had the same amount of transfers, and he was like 40 points clear. So I would have had to do a complete couple of Hail Mary moves to kind of do it.
Just by Callum Wilson.
Just by Callum Wilson. If I had done that, I'd have
Wilson versus chance. Isak.
But in terms of the question, I just feel like ridiculously privileged to be able to work full time fantasy football, to do the thing I love, and as a byproduct of me being able to spend a lot of time doing this stuff. Obviously, I've spent a lot of time planning, a lot of time looking at all these things, and I'm able to, able to do well. But in terms of best fantasy, this is so open to interpretation, because I've had a pretty shit last 3 FPL seasons. but in the other formats, I've been really well. But this is my thing. In the other 3 formats, I do feel you're a lot more rewarded for your performance.
Quality of skill.
I do think FPL is. It's a lot. There's a lot more, and this won't be popular among the FPL community, but I do think that you get rewarded a lot more in the other 3 games for the time and effort and commitment you put
planning
into them,
and which stuff.
Not this year.
No.
Michael wants to know, and I don't know what Michael is. Just a Michael. There's this time between you knowing that you captain Kane, so that the minute after, and knowing that second and third of captain Salah. How did that feel?
Well, there was no real time.
No, there's no time. as soon as the games kick off, you can see what they've done, right?
Yeah, but I didn't look until Kane had
already
scored.
So you just ignored it.
Well, it was not for purpose. I was just in the moment, and they were drinking as well.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that I didn't know that they were going to open their teams as well. So I didn't know who they'd captained, because you would just see the interest score.
So at the point you knew, you were already ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Kane had already scored by the time that Dan pointed out to me that
they'd
opened their team, both captain Salah. And I think maybe somebody in one of the hub group chats or something had mentioned to Dan to have a look. So
there was never that window of, okay, this could go.
I had a bit of cushion most of the day as well. Liverpool conceded very early.
Brighton conceded early,
and that was, I think, the team in third had Colwell, who I thought was a really astute move by them, because he's been great and picked up passing bonus and had stealing goals as well. And then Estupinan was benched, and second had Estupinan. So
that day when Estupinan got the haul against Arsenal, we felt like it was really close.
Right at the very end, right at the death as well. Like Ramsdale palming it right in his path.
I think you messaged me right after that game and said, and
"Game over."
That's it. You know, because we knew, like we knew that
my goose is cooked.
We knew you were out of transfers and you were done, and we knew that the other guys had better teams for you at that point. Yeah. But again, the way things unfold, it doesn't work out.
Malas transfer. Like, if you were to tell me that Malas transfer was Solly March to Mahrez, and if you told me that Mahrez was going to play the last four games, I was like, oh, that's obviously a really smart move. And he got one assist in that time. I know that people obviously brought him in FPL would have been more popular move in FPL than he was in Sky, but I had looked and he had played like the last seven on the bounce in the league, and I thought that I didn't know Arsenal were going to crumble like they did, and I thought that he would play maybe three out of four, and I was pretty happy with that as a Man City attacking player. But
how crazy to think that if you'd have held that last transfer back to last Thursday,
yeah,
you'd have brought in Shaw, who came off half-time.
Or De Gea, yeah. Well, absolutely probably brought in Shaw, yeah.
It's crazy how these things unfold.
I forgot to buy Shaw. That worked out in my favour this
time.
Did
you use all your transfers in here?
Nah, I left the last one. I used 49. But listen, we don't want to make Paul feel bad about it.
So what was your final rank?
310, I think.
310 plus one transfer.
Yeah.
Plus seven missed.
Plus seven missed. Deadline slash captaincy.
That's top 15.
But you know material, the first. You know when I missed the first deadline was the first Friday night. I didn't captain Jesus. I had Jesus. I intended to captain Jesus. I'm pretty sure I did.
You know he didn't actually do anything that night, right?
Yeah, but still, that was my first missed deadline. Was on the first fucking day. It wasn't like halfway through the season or whatever. It was on day one.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, everybody's scared. When the season that I miss, remember every deadline. But it kind of lends into a question that a few people have asked in terms of like, will you carry on your playing style into next season? Or what did you learn this season that you want to do next season? I know my two takeaways for me is like, firstly, in the first half of the season, it's all dependent on these overhauls, is just steady Eddie. Don't use my transfers. Just stick with the players that I know are going to play and tick along at 5-7 points. And then the second one is, if I'm going to be buying a player on that day that I'm like 90% sure is going to play and I'm not going to be around when deadline is, just do it early in the day. Like there was the David Raya on a Monday night and I feel like I should have just done it in the day because I knew he was going to play. So I'm going to not hang my hat on. I'd rather use a transfer and know I've done it and then, okay, if he doesn't play, whereas missing out can sometimes be mad. Missed out on Madison that way, missed out on Salah once that way and David Raya. So I'm going to just move early.
Did either of you guys have blanket defence at any point?
I think we might have a few Arsenal.
Arsenal, yeah. I had Zinchenko, Gabriel, Saliba and Ramsdale. But remember, there was a Man City pile-on opportunity and then there was an Arsenal pile-on opportunity.
I've not forgotten, Paul.
I'd already made one dig at you in this pod, so I didn't want to use that as an opportunity for the second. But yeah, I went heavy on Arsenal in the run of fixtures that they had when they had the extra fixtures there. So I think I had that four. I didn't have Ben White, but I had the other four defensive assets that were playing regularly.
It's not felt like a lot of that, though. Like, certainly in the running, it felt more about having talisman. And then I guess we've all ended up with a cluster, some four or five teams. And actually, we might have been better off sticking with some players, partly because like Arsenal obviously didn't take it right to the end and things like that. We would have been better off with some talisman. Ironically, in that bit, and it's felt more like that season. And I think I always say that fantasy football seasons will be different. So City can every week, obviously, A, changing the team, but B, keep conceding one goal, right? Like Edison, we've mentioned all season long and stuff, right? It might be next year City go on that run and have 5, 6, 7 clean sheets in a row, and we're playing a very different game, right? And then you need to get on it.
COVID backlog on the season, City went on a really good, strong defensive run. And Zinchenko was playing for City at that time as well. He was getting his game at left back.
The Gundogan run, was it?
Yeah. And like, I think most of it, like, I was on like 8 City players, I think, for that run.
City kept, I think it was 11 clean sheets in all competitions on the trot. And that just, that was the 0-1 Sun. And part of the reason I went all in on Man City. But it was, there's runs like that, which are just, if you can just spot the defense is steady. You can look at the chances they. But I think then you look at their defense this year compared to that. I think they had Stones and Diaz was their back. They had a really settled back four. Cancelo. They had a really settled back four that season. Whereas this year they've just chopped and changed every week. They just haven't looked steady this week.
Cancelo's still at about 2% of the top 1,000, isn't he, or so?
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember at the end of the other week, you were a little upset that all these people beat you. They still had Cancelo in the team.
I'm not sure we'll be. You will. So, because I guess I played Sky for quite some time now, I think it's like 12 seasons, it's getting harder and harder to take lessons learned, but there is one from this season for me. So I thought about the Pope Ederson situation post overhaul quite a bit and trying to determine whether I think it was luck or not. The one thing that swayed me towards bringing in Pope was that Newcastle always played before Man City, so there was always the opportunity to
come off.
If Ederson went on a
you weren't going to flip it,
so you could flip Pope to Ederson, but anyone that was on Ederson at that point, I have a lot of DMs or something like that. What would you advise of doing this? If I picked Ederson, I would never have come off him. And it's one of those things that you've almost pushed yourself into a path that you have to see out. And it's not a short-term plan, it's a long-term plan. And you have to see that all the way through. And that's can be painful. It was like a 60-point swing or something like that for that. Whereas if you did the opposite, you always had that opportunity that if the other was going on the run, that you could flip it with the extra game and therefore the decision's harder whether you think that the run's good enough of the player that you're coming off that, or you've just been unlucky, but you still do have that opportunity, and giving yourself that opportunity I think is really important. It's all about flexibility.
Looking forward to next season. Like obviously we know then, so Liverpool, Brighton, Villa will have this Thursday, Sunday, so you're going to have Liverpool, Brighton, Villa will be a lot of Sundays. To Liverpool, you kind of want to going to keep with that in mind that they always play second, maybe West Ham we'll see, but then that's four teams that are consistently wanting to do Thursday, Sunday stuff. So Sundays will be quite busy next year. There might be opportunity to pile in a little bit, worth keeping an eye on.
We'd have been looking at United and Arsenal, the same thing at the start of this season
right? As well.
So yeah. I'll tell you one that sticks out, it's something you said a couple of years ago actually, Paul, which stuck in my mind last summer, was about identifying really early on, i.e. in pre-season, a good promoted player to have, i.e. this year's Paulinho.
Yeah.
And when I looked in the summer, I didn't need to look very far to find that if there was going to be one from the promoted teams that would stand out, who was a cheap enabler, it was him. Will you be looking for that again, do you think?
Yeah, and it's about flexibility. So Fergie and I were talking on the train here, and I was like, I'm hungover, and I need to think of what we're going to say on this podcast, and I can't think just now. And I had written down some notes on the plane yesterday morning, coming down to London as well. And that goes hand in hand with something else. So about team structure, what I was on really, really early was the ability to get on Haaland, Kane and Salah all in one team and not have to mess about with transfers. And how you do that is with budget enablers. And then picking the budget enabler, right, or at least that price point. So if that's not the right budget enabler and you need to move on and you gain the fixture for coming off the Saturday and bringing in the Sunday, fine. Absolutely fine with that if you're not on the right one early. But having that placeholder at that 6.5 million to 7 million spot for me is really important, because it allows that you can get to a player in one move. And one of the things I learned a few seasons back was, or one of the takeaways I said, that I would never make two moves to bring in one player. Yeah. And I want to make sure I had planned well in advance that if I ever needed a player,
it's one move.
From players I want, and I don't want to be messing about bringing in. I didn't take it, like, I know there was opportunities to come off Haaland and to come back on, you know, in like 3-for-0 situations. I didn't remove him from my team all season for that, and I felt I benefited by using that extra 1-2 transfers.
What price would he have to be if you not start with him?
Like 16 million or something like that. Genuinely.
This is what I'm saying. I think the guys did a great job with the pricing this year and the reclassification of players. Like, genuinely really good.
Agreed.
You know, Rashford at like 8.1 was an outlier, but based on his previous seasons, like, it's reasonable. It's not like we all started with him.
Yeah,
we didn't.
Exactly.
But I do think for circumstances like that, it feels to me for the progress that, again, we need to kind of stop that, where we can do that just really easy and go, yes, I'm having Haaland, Salah, Kane at the start of next season.
It's 16 million and no need to captain him like single game days where he could really hurt you.
Well, it just kills all the city, as you mentioned earlier, it kills all the city. It kills, not all the city assets.
I feel like as well in FPL, I understand it more in terms of like,
the engagement and stuff where they want everybody to have their favourite players, if you will, that in terms of the global game and that. For Sky, I feel like the majority of us want the challenge a little bit more and a little bit more variety and variation, that's all I'd say. But Haaland's not going to be that price. Sorry, Fergie.
No, it won't be that expensive. We've got a question coming in from Ben Skyfeff. I think we can do this round the table, which will be pretty cool. Interested in the rest of your guys' answers. Biggest troll and star player of the season.
Zaha and Zaha.
Yeah. That we've got this support group for James with his love of Zaha. I think it's weird. My star of the season is probably Rodri. I don't know even why. It's just the consistency that I love. Yeah, and all through that first half of the season, he was lowly owned. There's two actually. There's him, and the one that's closely behind is David Raya, who just slotted in and then just kept ticking away with the things. And then post overhaul, the second half of that season, I didn't own Rodri or David Raya for hardly any of it, and I missed them, like that comfort blanket of those guys. And I always tried to find opportunities to get back, and I didn't, because there was no fixture gain or no real. There was always, but that makes more sense because they got better fixtures or more fixtures and never went back to them. But those two definitely are up there as my two stars of the season that I would always have eyes on for next season. In terms of troll, I mean, it's a bit of a harsh one because sometimes you gamble on a player for a short-term daisy chain and it works or it doesn't work. But I gambled on Danny Ings about a month and a half ago as a daisy chain and it was just a flop. Completely nothing happened from it. 0 points, useless. But it was a gamble. And it was a daisy chain where I knew I was in for two or three games and I moved it on. Whatever happens, happens. But that was waste. Danny Ings was a waste. Any star troll?
Yeah, like
Callum Wilson, he won it for you, mate.
Yeah, so Callum Wilson, obviously has to be a star for me. I mentioned earlier on, I brought in Martinelli at a point where people were taking him out. I think he'd blanked three games in a row and like Trossard had just been signed and there was talk about his side, that's going to be rotation and less minutes. And I brought him in instead because I saved the transfer from doing, remember there was like a Rashford to Wolves 4-0 scenario that came up. I know you're being sarcastic, so and I passed up that opportunity, and then I think news came out that Rashford might be out for a little bit longer. I was like, right, okay, so I do need to move him on now, and I used the transfer bringing Martinelli. So whilst it's an obvious player because he was at one time like over 60% owned in the top 1K, I got him at a point where he was like less than 20% owned, and you always want to be the way to play Sky, and this isn't like a. This isn't an easy way of how to do this, but you want to be on the lowly owned player first because before they start the bandwagon.
You want to lead the template.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lead the template, get on the bandwagon early, and then you've gained the points that everyone else is now chasing by bringing them in. So Martinelli, Wilson, and Pope, when I did the Pope over Ederson, I also got on, I've owned Ollie Watkins twice this season. He trolled me the first time. I got nothing out of him. I brought him in early.
Pre-World Cup.
There was a captaincy opportunity. I think it might have been against West Ham.
You brought in Rodrigo, Serge, I think, at the same time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he'd actually worked out okay in that.
He didn't do too badly. Yeah. It wasn't spectacular.
But I brought in Watkins very early on that, like on that really good run that he did post-overhaul as well. So I'd say those were my stars. In terms of the trolls, it'd be easy for me to put Ederson in because I have owned him twice this season and didn't own him at that point.
He trolled others more.
But he trolled others more and I don't feel as burnt. Actually, here's another star for you. And it's a weird situation in that he would have annoyed so many people. But I owned Dean Henderson when he was semi-popular. And he went through that run of conceding with like and not picking up bonus and stuff. And everyone came off him. And I kept him in. And he ended up getting my first ever Sky non-saved penalty save points from penalty.
It's a shame just to find out that your victory has been illegitimate, mate.
Illegitimate.
I see. You need last edge. I've always maintained you need luck and people call me out for using that too often.
That role, guy, has got to go. I'm sorry. That has got to go.
That's the first time I've ever benefited from it. And I have been in the position where Dean Henderson done it at Sheffield United as well. I think De Bruyne hit the bar with a penalty one time and everyone owned Dean Henderson. I didn't, and I was fuming. He must have been like really high ownership. So I have
been hurt by it as well as benefited this season.
Oh, I've had it benefit me, definitely. Yeah. But I think that needs binning.
But yeah, not like I've rode my luck well this season, so I don't think I have any trolls.
Yeah, I've finished first. My trolls are
my tales of war are this. No, I think that's mine. So I'm not.
I think for trolls, I've owned Edison the whole time that Paul's owned Pope. But I think when Niall was on with you guys last time, I think he said the only difference between Niall's team and Paul's team most of the season was the Edison over Pope call, because that was like, was it 40-point swing at that point, yeah, wasn't it? So I've had Edison like the whole time. I brought in Stones about a month back, which is just, I don't think he's not started three of the last four, which is just like, this is part of the reason why I've sunk from third down to like 43rd is because I've just been stuck with these people who just haven't started. I think I'd add Saliba into the stars, started off with him.
Yeah, he did well.
He was a risky punt, I think, pre-game week one. It may be easy to think now that it wasn't, but it was, because no one knew he was going to play. Saliba, Polina allowed Salah, Kane and Haaland. So I think I'd put them in as stars. I think getting Ollie Watkins as well back for Tony, I think it was, that was like a really strong move. And but yeah, there's nothing too out of the blue. I say played a pretty template game this year. No other massive stars from it, really.
How long you got?
trolls, yeah? This is for trolls, yeah?
I think the whole Man City team. Star would be, if I think, identifying that with Paulinho at the start and him being very good for people. I certainly the Ollie Watkins one as well. I know a few people would question that. Turned out really good around sort of the match week 26 kind of entry point. It's interesting just reflecting on Saliba. I'm pretty sure it didn't start with him. It came quite obvious quite soon. And reflecting on that absolutely should have been, seeing him in that team at Palace, should have been, he goes in because of what he can be. Like you said, rather than say with the Pope and Edison, oh, I need to flip this to do this. It's like, this could be magic. Get him in. And if it's not, we'll work about that later. Trolls, any Manchester City player bar Haaland and Rodri. Kanate, Nunez, definitely. The two of them. Oh, my goodness. Unfortunately, I don't think I had any Tottenham players other than Harry Kane, so that's not too bad. Arsenal attackers, always felt like I was on the wrong one. Be on Martinelli and Odegaard, Saka would go off. I'd get on Martinelli later, Saka would go off. It always felt like that. So actually, the majority of the Arsenal attackers, for me personally, I'd throw in there as well.
You'd have probably been on Romero and Dyer. Romero was the Twitter pick at the start of the season. He was like 7.8.
I mean, I'd happily say that. I think we said in pre-season, it's ridiculous, 0.3 less than Rashford. We said Romero was the one definite bad price.
Yeah.
In the summer, and yet
he got injured.
You wouldn't have paid 5.8 for him over like the last few months. So, I've got a number.
Nice.
Just talking about the pricing there just a little bit. You know, you always hear about kind of upping Haaland's price and stuff, but just a way maybe I was thinking about evening everything out just a tiny bit is just to increase the lower limit of the player prices, because there will always be some player who starts at 5.8 million or, a Polina at 6.9 or a Solly Mart at 6.9. If you start the lower price limit at 7 million and then the current 7 million players are 8 million, you can't, that you literally cannot afford to have Haaland, Salah, Kane, Van Dijk, Ruben Diaz.
Someone would emerge. I mean, we've had that. It's not been spoken about that much, but say still with Stupinan right near the end. Yeah. If they're at the same price, start of next season, 5.8, 6.6 respectively, someone like a Paulinho is going to emerge. I absolutely agree.
They will. But if you upper that lower limit, you cannot have all those players. I think that will diversify, because the whole thing is having to make a decision, right? And when everything's easy, when you can have Saliba and say Solly March and Polina and Steele and Estupinan, the rest of the game is easy, right? You just get all the stars.
I feel like one of the first things we probably do as Sky managers is look through them cheapies.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than the bigger prices. Yeah. Who's the 6.2 defender who might be the one? And actually, again, I genuinely think they did a great job of it this year, but yeah, I would up it more.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something when we get down to pre-season, the correspondence that we have. Like, I'm interested in like Burnley. They'll have some good assets.
Josh Cullum
coming up.
Yeah, might be Carson Tears next year.
Yeah, and yeah. Even with Luton and Sheffield United as well. That's my go-to of that. I think with the cheapies.
I've intentionally said Josh Cullum because I don't want him to be like 6.1 or something.
You don't? You want it to be expensive?
No, it's got to be more expensive. So I'm going to look down the camera and say that now probably.
If it helps. Yeah, and there'll be new signings coming into the league as well. Maybe some tried and trusted that might move clubs as well. You never know. Harry Kane, you never know. He'll be playing in Germany.
All right. About it.
But again, I think for me, first thing is always captaincy. Cover the captaincy and make sure you got that sorted. Did you skip any this year? Did you let any go?
Yeah, the Wolves, whatever that game was on.
Wolves Fulham?
Because Polina, people had kept up Polina, and I took him out just as he stopped getting tackles at the end of the game. So another one that went, but he was on 9 bookings, so I think it probably was more than a coincidence that he stopped picking up tackles when he was due a two-match ban. So yeah, I missed that.
Post that, he just got so many yellow cards again.
Yeah,
it's annoying. No tears and yellow cards.
Fulham Wolves, and I missed another captaincy.
It was one towards the start of the season. I can't remember what it was now. I think lots of people went on Neves, didn't they, in that Wolves game? Yeah. Or
I do think if there's not a form player, that those singles. I did it the previous season. And I finished well in Sky last year as well. It was like Newcastle against Everton, and people were bringing in like Ryan Fraser, and I was a pop, like the popular community pick, and avoided that then there, and I think it finished 1-0 with an Iwobi goal or late on. So I definitely think that's a valid.
It's known what it can be, isn't it?
Skipped a few.
You buy a Wolves player, chances are it's one to get him in and it's two to get him out.
Yeah. Exactly. It's daisy chain. It only works from.
It's different
from
if you've got a team like. Even if you didn't own a player from the team, but if you've got a team like a Villa where you know that all of their route of goal, that they score goals and the route of goals comes through Ollie Watkins. But yeah, Wolves didn't have that. And it's that thing where you picture Ruben Neves doing really well and scoring one of these 40-yard screamers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in theory as well, when I looked at it afterwards, his ownership hadn't shot up as high as what community suggestion. You're getting that group think of, oh, there's not a world outside of this and everybody's doing it. And in reality, I don't think he's... I could be wrong, but I don't think his ownership went above like 10% or something like that. So it wasn't that popular a move.
I think he's tried really, like, one thing that helped me this year in terms of making decisions there, I'll hark back now to this time with Trent. I really... Like, Trent frightened me to death this last month, not owning him.
Yeah.
He was absolutely unbelievable, scoring goals, passing bonus. Okay, I don't think they kept that many clean sheets towards the end, maybe a couple. But I think rather go for that Wolves-Neves pick, which is a bit of a hail mate. He might score a 40-yarder, like, or he might get a penalty, which is, you know, he's not going to do that. You know, the odds are he's not going to do that. Whereas if you can own Trent for 4 games at the end of the season using the same one transfer, you're practically guaranteed 20, you know, or 25 points. I think being able to balance
that. Same with Nunes and Konate.
I think being able to balance that when you're making a decision of, you know, this is very unlikely to happen, whereas that transfer at the end of the season could be, well, will be likely absolute gold dust. Like,
you know. Yeah, for sure. This, when you've got teams chasing something or playing for something and you know exactly what they've got on the radar as well. You know what? If I couldn't win Sky, then I wish my second team did. And if it wasn't my second team, I wish it was James. And if it wasn't you or first team, I'd take your second team winning. But fifth on the list, I'm happy for you.
I'm not one of the guys that pay the patron, your patron.
I was going to say, you just pissed off every patron. Sorry, guys.
They're all right. But honestly, we've been really enjoyed listening all season because it's always helped me get a counterbalance. When we have a conversation, the problem for us is always groupthink, where we talk ourselves into our own decisions, and having a counterbalance listening all season has been really good fun. And really enjoyable. So thank you for your content. Well done again on winning it.
Thank you.
Where can everybody find you? Give them the plug.
On Twitter at Paul McAnulty1, it's MCANULTY. and I never remember the Twitter handles for the podcast that we do. So you're going to have to change the James done it the last time I was on, and now you're going to have to get Fergie.
Somewhere on the internet.
Yeah. Fergie better not get it wrong.
Yeah, mine is at FFH_Fergie, and our Sky went at FFH_Sky, and obviously we're all at fantasyfootballhub.co.uk.
Cool. Are you recording a rap?
We will be in a couple of weeks, yeah. I'm on holiday now for a week or two, and Paul's going to sober up.
Paul's going on holiday, and we don't know when he's back. It's one of them ones.
Yeah, we're going to do a bit of a wrap upon celebration, and just say thanks to all our, our listeners, our followers, our supporters, everyone else, because, the reason we love doing the streams of live is just all the interaction, and everyone's just so been so supportive of, of us and Paul, especially in this last month, so much. We really want to share that with everyone else as well.
Yeah, no negativity in the Sky community.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it incredible?
And, yeah, ever since they killed Man of the Match.
Yeah. And,
Before then, there was a bit.
And thanks to you guys, for obviously, using your platform to bring kind of Sky up as well, and, all your content. Your Sky podcast is the only fantasy podcast I listen to every week. So
you don't listen to the other ones?
No, they're shit. No,
I do.
No.
Sometimes.
Oh my God.
I'll say something in closing. I put Sky for 12 or 13 years now, but there is bits that I'll take from everything that I read and everything I listen to. And your ability to determine when fixtures are going to switch. Like you and I were talking about this, and you're like, "Oh, you can buy me a pint if you win." Remember when we were on the pod before? There is always for me, there's always stuff that we can take out of that I can take out of podcasts and Teco Fergie's sentiments. I love your guys' pods as well, and there's definitely bits that I've taken out of it that's helped me along the way as well.
Likewise, feeling is mutual. Although what I took out hasn't worked for me.
James, anything else to add? What we've got left this week is obviously holiday Monday.
Yeah, FPL, you've got a quiet week actually. Boss.
Oh, lovely job.
The FPL game week review tomorrow. Wednesday is now. I should introduce. You don't even probably know our new Luton Town correspondent, Dan Ashby's joining. We're going to do a pod on Luton on Wednesday.
I won money on Luton
Thursday,
on Saturday.
Fantasy Football Scouts, David Mundy, and our good friend Benny Blanco joining me for a Game Week 39 preview. Probably a bit more on that on tomorrow's pod as well. And
sure.
Friday, one more Clash of Correspondents, Manchester United versus Manchester City, with Gary Robinson and Johnny Pringle, head of the FA Cup final.
Nice. So busy week ahead. Despite the end of the football season, there's still a few games left to go. If you want to support the show, I would say probably... don't wait till July now,
Thursday.
Really.
Oh, yeah. No, don't even.
There's literally no point, because June, we're obviously taking a little bit of time out. There'll be no charges for anybody in Patreon in June. So really, if you join now, you've got 3 days. You're welcome to if you want to, but recommend coming back.
Do you not realise we're still doing content next week?
No, we are next week.
Okay, I'm just checking.
The end of the month is on the Wednesday, James. They're only going to pay for 2 days. It's all good. But you do get access to the back catalogue of all of the content.
Yeah, and you can see my planner, which is now empty.
Yeah, a spreadsheet with no cells coloured in on there. The Slack channels, they're still there. The cricket one will probably get a lot busier if you're a fan of other sports. There's plenty of people in there chatting away as well. You're welcome to join. Just know that June is free. Other than that, enjoy the rest of the day. Stay safe.
A couple of shout-outs, if I can, first.
Yes, do them.
Obviously, big thanks to Paul and Fergie joining us today. Thank you for everybody who's guested on the pod this year, when Sir just disappeared for a little while, which includes both the gentlemen sitting on my right. Shout-out to FF Stuff. I think we both heavily rely on his website, massively, for Sky. And obviously, Mr. Ian Parrin as well.
Yes.
For his assistance with his own panel for you guys as well.
Fantastic. Stay safe, look after yourselves. Thanks again, gents, and ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.